He relit the stair gas as he spoke, and we saw before us a singular-looking man, whose appearance as well as his voice testified to his jangled nerves. He was very fat, but had apparently at some time been much fatter, so that the skin hung about his face in loose pouches, like the cheeks of a bloodhound. He was of a sickly colour, and his thin, sandy hair seemed to bristle up with the intensity of his emotion. In his hand he held a pistol, but he thrust it into his pocket as we advanced.
"Good evening, Mr. Holmes," said he. "I am sure I am very much obliged to you for coming round. No one ever needed your advice more than I do. I suppose that Dr. Trevelyan has told you of this most unwarrantable intrusion into my rooms?"
"Quite so," said Holmes. "Who are these two men, Mr. Blessington, and why do they wish to molest you?"
Well, said the resident patient in a nervous fashion. "Of course it is hard to say that. You can hardly expect me to answer that, Mr. Holmes."
"Do you mean you don't know?"
"Come in here, if you please. Just have the kindness to step in here."
He led the way into his bedroom, which was large and comfortably furnished. "You see that?" said he, pointing to a big black box at the end of his bed.
"I have never been a very rich man, Mr. Holmes. Never made but one investment in my life, as Dr. Trevelyan would tell you. But I don't believe in bankers. I would never trust a banker, Mr. Holmes. Between ourselves, what little I have is in that box, so you can understand what it means to me when unknown people force themselves into my rooms."
Holmes looked at Blessington in his questioning way and shook his head. "I cannot possibly advise you if you try to deceive me," said he.
"But I have told you everything."
Holmes turned on his heel with a gesture of disgust. "Good night, Dr. Trevelyan," said he.